Welcome to the Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. I trust you've had a good week walking with the Lord. Here on the Voice of Hope, I've been talking about an example from Exodus about life for the children of Israel in the wilderness. And I think the Lord has really put this on my heart because there are a lot of people I meet and know and talk to that are going through very difficult times. It's not just in Kenya, Uganda, and Burundi. It's all over the world. We're facing very challenging times, challenging financial times, other challenges we're facing in the world. And we as Christians, we need to learn how to live and be overcomers in the midst of the world that we live in. And the Bible is written so that we could understand God and God's ways. And even though we live in the New Testament today, under Jesus Christ, there are many lessons we can learn from the Old Testament to understand how God thinks and God works. And I love the story of the children of Israel and their deliverance from Egypt and their life in the wilderness, because we learn a lot of lessons about God and how God wants to operate and what God wants to do in our lives in the midst of challenging times that we're facing by studying what God did with the children of Israel in the wilderness. And so we started this series, Lessons in the Wilderness, last week on the Voice of Hope. And if you missed it, I'm also teaching it on my podcast. I do a little 10-minute podcast every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And you can find it on Facebook on The Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. Or you can go to YouTube, The Voice of Hope Today. And you can find my podcast. So I've been teaching about this because I think it's such an important topic at this time to help us to learn how to be more than conquerors and how to overcome in the midst of the challenges that we are facing. And so last week, I talked about the Lord who delivers, Jehovah Mafalti. That's in Hebrew language, Jehovah Mafalti, the Lord who delivers. And we saw how God, with great power, delivered the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt, and how that they had sacrificed a sheep and put the blood over the doorposts of their house, and they ate the lamb in the house, and the death angel passed through Egypt and killed the firstborn of every Egyptian. But everybody who had blood over the door, the death angel could not kill anybody in that house, and they were saved. And because of that, God delivered them out of Egypt. This is an illustration of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You know, God used Moses to deliver Israel out of Egypt. God uses Jesus Christ to deliver us out of the power of sin and power of Satan. And so the way that happens, when we ask God to forgive us of our sins, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin and makes us righteous, makes us in right relationship with God. See, because sin is what separates us from God. Sin is what causes us to have all the problems we have. Everything that is bad in the world is a result of sin. Jesus said, the enemy, Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. And so in the world, we suffer all these things because of sin. And we cannot deliver ourselves from sin because sin is part of who we are. A child, when he just starts to grow, starts to say no and starts to do things he shouldn't do because we are sinful by nature. And the only way that we can get free from, we can't free ourselves from sin. The only way that we can become free from the power of sin is through accepting Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and shed his blood so that we'd be cleansed of our sin and so that we could have a relationship with God and walk in victory. So God, through Jesus Christ, delivers us from the power of sin, just like God delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt. And we saw last week that God took them into the wilderness. Now, the wilderness wasn't a place of punishment for Israel. The wilderness is a very dry place, difficult place to live. But God was preparing Israel to go into the promised land. See, the promised land was a land that was very fertile, had lots of rain, you could grow a lot of food. It was a blessed land that God blessed, and God had promised it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so God was delivering Israel out of slavery in Egypt to bring them into the promised land. But to prepare them to go into the promised land, he took them through the wilderness to reveal himself to them. And so we saw last week that in the wilderness, they discovered or found out that God was their provider, Jehovah Jireh. And in Hebrew, Jehovah Jireh means God, our provider. And so in we saw last week in the wilderness, they could not provide for themselves. That's why God took them there, so he could teach them that he would provide for them. But Israel, instead of trusting God to supply for them and provide for them, they grumbled and complained in the wilderness. They became discouraged in the wilderness. They wanted to run back to Egypt all the time. They kept looking back to Egypt. And that's looking back to the world. You know, when we get into problems sometimes, we, instead of trusting that God can really supply our problems or answer our need or give us what we need, then we want to run back to the world. We keep looking back to the world. But you see, when you can't come into the promises of God if you look back to the world. If you look to the world as your source of what you need, then God is not going to supply what you need. No, you have to trust God, believe God, and have faith in God that God is your provider. And God is your provider no matter where you are, because that is who he is. That is his nature. He is Jehovah Jireh. That is his name. And he is the same everywhere. He provides in Africa. He provides in America. He provides in India. He provides in China. He provides every place. God is our provider. If we look and trust God to be our provider, he will be our provider. If we follow him and do his will, he will provide. And so it doesn't make, even in the wilderness, where nothing can grow, where there's hardly any rain, God provided manna, supernatural food for them. God provided water out of the rock for them to drink. God provided everything they needed in the wilderness. They never lacked anything in the wilderness. And God wanted to teach them that so they would trust him as their provider, so that he could take them into the promised land. See, if we get the provision ourselves, then we think we've done it. And we think we have provided for ourselves. No, God doesn't want us to provide for ourselves. That's why he takes us in the wilderness. He wants to learn that he is our provider. But today I want to look at the next thing God wants to teach us in the wilderness, and that is our identity, who we are. See, in Egypt, they had been slaves for 400 years. So they had the identity of a slave. And identity is what you believe about yourself. So my identity is, I can say, I'm an American. I'm the son of Thomas Clark, a missionary. You can say you're a Kenyan or Ugandan or from Burundi. You know, you could say the tribe you're from or the clan you're from or the family you're from. You know, those are your earthly identity. And we're all born with an earthly identity. But when we are born again, we take on a new identity, the identity of our Father God. We become a new person in Christ Jesus. And so God brought Israel out of Egypt. He brought them in the wilderness so they could discover who their identity was. And in Exodus chapter 19, verse 3 through 6, Exodus 19, 3 through 6, it says there, "And Moses went up to God," this is Moses went up the mountain to God, it is Mount Sinai, "and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus shall you say to the house of Jacob," the Israelites, "and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I destroyed the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be to me a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you speak to the children of Israel." So this is God. This is God has brought them now to Mount Sinai, and he's giving them his laws, how they should live their life. He's giving his word. God gives his word so we know how to live a Christian life. He gave him his law so they would know how to live life. And he spoke to them. He spoke to them in an audible voice so they could hear his voice. And God speaks to us today by the Holy Spirit. God speaks to all of us by the Holy Spirit. So he says, If you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, my word, you shall be to me a special treasure. See, when we give our lives fully to God and begin to do things His way, we become His special treasure. We are so special. You are so special to God today. He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to save you from sin so you could become a child of God. You are God's treasure. You say, I might not feel like I'm God's treasure. You know, I remember we had a women's conference one time in Bungoma. And the theme of the conference, you are daughters of the King. And there was about maybe 150 women there. And they taught from the Bible how that they were daughters of the King. And then every woman came up and they put a crown on her head and they gave her a special flower. And they prayed over them as a daughter of the King. And boy, God just did an awesome work in the life of all the women. They just danced and rejoiced. And I remember one lady got up and testified after the meeting, at the last day of the meeting, and she was wearing older clothes, and she said, you know, I live in a mud hut with a thatch roof, but today I have discovered that I am a daughter of the King. See, your identity does not ride upon if you live in a nice house or what kind of house or what you possess. See, change begins when we recognize who we are in Jesus Christ. When we understand our identity is not in the world. See, if your identity is in the world, then if you live in a small house, you feel like you're very small. If you live in a big house, you feel like you're very important. If you don't have any position, you feel like you're small. But if you have a big position, you feel like you're important. Well, the problem with having your identity in those things is those things can go away. You can lose your big house, you can lose your position, you can lose your money. And if your identity is in those things, then it goes away. But if your identity, your full identity, when you're born again, you take on the identity of Jesus Christ. If your identity is fully in Jesus Christ, it doesn't make any difference what position you have. That's why we don't compete for a position in the church, because position is not who I am. Position is the fact that I am a child of God, no matter what kind of a house I live in. And I come to know that I'm a child of God. He says, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my commandments, then you shall be to me a special treasure above all people. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. A kingdom of priests. Priests were representatives of God in the earth. In the Jewish culture, in Israel, they had the Levites, who were the priestly tribe, and they were priests that ministered to the people of Israel. But God wanted everybody in Israel to be a priest. And as a priest, they would represent God to the world. You see, God made a covenant with Abraham, and God told Abraham, through you, I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth. And the way God was going to do that is raise up a kingdom of priests who would represent him to the world and who would teach the world the things about God, and they would represent the world to God. So that was a priest. A priest is kind of like an ambassador. An ambassador represents another country. The American ambassador comes to Kenya to represent America to Kenya, and he also goes back to America and tells America about things in Kenya. He is the ambassador. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. We are ambassadors of God Almighty. We are a kingdom of ambassadors, a kingdom of priests that represent God in the world. But you can only do that when your identity is really in God. See, an ambassador does not represent himself. He represents his country. He speaks for his country. He has the authority of his country to speak. But he can only speak what his country tells him to speak. He can't just make any promises he wants. No, and so as a priest, a holy priest, a kingdom of priests, a kingdom of ambassadors, we don't represent ourselves, we represent Jesus Christ. That's why he says, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant. See, Jesus was an ambassador of God the Father. He said, I only do what the Father shows me to do. I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. So if Jesus walked in great power because he was an ambassador of God, and God wants us to walk in that same authority, and it comes out of a relationship with God. See, Jesus said, I am one with the Father, and the Father is one with me. And so Jesus said, I'm not representing myself, I'm representing the Father. We are representatives of Jesus Christ in the world. We are representatives of the Father every day of the week, everywhere we go, because we are a kingdom priest and a holy nation. Holy means to be set apart. It doesn't mean to not have any sin. It means to be set apart. For example, I know in some houses they have a special water pot where they keep drinking water. That pot is only for drinking water. You don't put anything else in there. It needs kept pure and clean for drinking water. And so we are a holy nation. We are set apart to be a kingdom of priests to represent God in the earth. God said, this is the reason I have delivered you from Egypt. This is the reason I am providing for you in the wilderness, is so that you will know that you are a kingdom of priests. But Israel, when they got to Mount Sinai, instead of listening to God, they ran away from God. Instead of obeying God's law, they made a golden calf, and they worshiped this golden calf, and they said, this thing has delivered from Egypt. And because of that, they didn't understand who they were. They still had this slave mentality in their mind. And so when they get to the promised land in Numbers chapter 13, verse 33, Numbers 13, 33, they're getting ready to enter the promised land. They're on the Jordan River looking into the promised land. And they sent some spies into the promised land to see what it looked like. And they all came back and they said, oh, the promised land is beautiful. There's lots of fruit, lots of vegetable. Everything grows. It's a wonderful country. Two of them said, let's go and take this country, because they understood who they were in God. They didn't have the power to take over, to defeat the giants and walled cities in the promised, but they trusted in God. The other 10 said, this is what the other 10 said. They said in Numbers 13, 33, there in the promised land, we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. See, they saw themselves as grasshoppers, very small thing, because they hadn't paid attention in the wilderness and hadn't developed a relationship with God in the wilderness. And because they saw themselves as grasshoppers, instead of going into the promised land and experiencing all the blessings of God, they retreated back in the wilderness. Why? Because grasshoppers live in wilderness. Grasshoppers don't live in the promised land. And so, you know, God wants to change us. God wants to give us a new identity and a new way of thinking to understand who we are, so that we're not grasshoppers. You know, we're not fearful. We're not afraid. We don't see ourselves as small. We see ourselves as God sees us. In 1 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're not the same person you were before. God is getting ready to want to do a new work in you if you will listen to his voice and obey his word. Get into his word. You are a new creation. You're not the same person you were before. You have been born again if you've accepted Christ as your Savior. You have been born again. You are a child of Almighty God. You have come under all the privileges, but you need to come and understand who you are in God and who you are in Christ Jesus, so that you're able to go into the promises that God had for you. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, says there, but you, we, you as believers and I as believers, as born again children of God, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Why? That you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but now you are the people of God, who had not attained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. He's saying, hey, this is who you are. You are a chosen, the very same thing that God told Israel, God's telling us, that we are his chosen people. We're a chosen generation. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You represent God in the world, a holy nation set aside to God, His special people. You're God's special people. Why? So you may proclaim the praise of God who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. See, God delivers us from slavery. He brings into the wilderness so that He can teach us our identity. If you're in the wilderness today, don't be discouraged by the wilderness. Don't focus on the wilderness. Don't complain about the wilderness. Don't say, I can't do this. Now, don't be a grasshopper, because you're a child of God. It doesn't make any difference what your wilderness is like. You're a child of God. You have to know that He is your deliverer. He is Jehovah Mephalti, your deliverer. He is Jehovah Jireh, your provider, even in the wilderness. And that He has chosen you as His royal priest and to show forth His glory in the earth, just like Jesus showed forth His glory in the earth. See, God brings us into the wilderness for purpose, so that He can empower us in the wilderness to enter the promised land. But because Israel failed to listen to God and obey God, but they continue to serve idols, they failed to enter in the promised land. Why? Because golden calves have no power to take you into God's promises. Idols of the world have no power to take you into the promised land. All the wealth in the world cannot take you into the promised land. Only God and walking in God can take you into the great and precious promises that God has for you. You know, we see the same thing in the life of Christ. You know, in Luke chapter 3, see Jesus going through the same thing, wilderness thing that we went through. And in Luke chapter 3, verse 21, Luke 3:21, it says, when all the people were baptized, this is John baptizing people, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while He prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on Him bodily, like a form of a dove, and the voice came from heaven which said, you are My beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. See, there's a change that happened here. Before this time, Jesus was the son of Joseph and Mary. But Jesus here is baptized in water, and when He comes out of the water, the Holy Spirit comes down on Him, and God said, this is My Son in whom I am well pleased. And it's the same with us. You know, I was a child of Tom and Helen Clark, but then one day I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Baptism means you die to your old man and you're raised a new man. So when Jesus went down the water, the person who died was the son of Mary and Joseph. And the person who came up was the Son of God. And when He came up, the Spirit of God came on Him, and God spoke to Him and said, this is My Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus had not done any ministry yet. Jesus had not done any great thing. God was pleased with Jesus because Jesus had given Himself fully to God. See, when you are saved and born again, you're baptized in water. Now, you don't have to be baptized in water to be saved. No, you're saved by putting faith in Jesus Christ. You become a child of God by putting faith in Jesus Christ. Water baptism is just a public testimony that you have died to the old person and that you've raised again into new life in Jesus Christ. And so God wants you to die to yourself because you can't do it. You cannot deliver yourself from the wilderness. Only God can do it. God wants you to die to yourself, and He wants you to be raised up in Jesus Christ and be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you, makes you a child of God, and empowers you to live a Christian life. So you're a new person in Christ Jesus if you've accepted Christ and been born again. If you haven't been baptized in water, I encourage you to get baptized in water. Go to your pastor or church and get baptized in water. Then in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, this is talking about Jesus coming from the Jordan River where He was baptized. Luke 4:1 says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan where he was baptized, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested for 40 days by the devil. So Jesus received the Holy Spirit when he was baptized, and then the Spirit leads him into the wilderness to be tested of the devil. So just like Israel was taken into the wilderness, Jesus was taken to the wilderness. Why? Because God wants to show us some things in the wilderness. God wanted to show his provision in the wilderness. God provided everything. You know, so the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days. Now, Israel was in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, God didn't want them to be in the wilderness for 40 years. But they were there because they didn't believe God. They didn't give their lives fully to God. And so he was in the wilderness for 40 days being tested of Satan. Then you go down to Luke chapter 4, verse 14. It says, then Jesus returned from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogue, being glorified by all. See, Jesus, he went through the wilderness. He came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. Who led him into the wilderness? The Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tested. And then this, he came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. The news of him went around everywhere, and he taught in their synagogues, and everyone gave glory to God. See, God is wanting to move us into a new area. God is wanting to do a new work in you and me. See, sometimes we look at the wilderness as a terrible place, and the wilderness is a hard place. I'm not saying it's not hard. It's hard. I've been through some wilderness times in my own life. But God doesn't want the wilderness to destroy us or make us feel like we're small. God wants to take us through the wilderness so that we'll learn to trust him and be empowered by him. God wants to abandon the world, embrace him in the wilderness, embrace his word. So during this time, I just encourage you, just don't focus on the problems. Focus on the God who solves the problems. God is greater than your problem. God wants to reveal himself to you. God wants to bring you out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit to show forth his glory in these days. Father God, I just thank you for every person listening to Voice of Hope today, Lord God. Lord God, I know that people are facing challenging times, Lord God. We find ourselves often in a wilderness situation. But Lord, help us to look unto you, the author and finisher of our faith. Help us to look to you, our deliverer, Jehovah Mephalti, our provider, Jehovah Jireh, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to take on our new identity that we are children of Almighty God. Help us to hear your voice, Lord God, to walk in your ways and to see your glory and power revealed. Lord, I just bless every person today. Lord, may you show forth your power in their life. Keep them, Lord God. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. I encourage you, invite your friends to listen to Voice of Hope every Sunday to receive an encouraging word from the Lord. May God bless you and keep you. Look forward to talking with you next Sunday on the Voice of Hope.